This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 602. I'm Brian Kilby. I'd like to thank Jason for covering last week. He's not here. He's sick. I think dealing with you guys just was too much for him.
Probably.
Yeah. So
we have that effect.
I cried.
Chase you off like every other week.
Every other week now. That's true. I know, right? Next week, we're going to be together for a while. It'll be our year-end episode. Jason said it was this week. We're doing it next week. It just didn't work out. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about this week. It's a big week. And to help us out, we have Diecast.
Hey, everybody.
If you're watching video, John DeLuna's back. He was here last week on video.
Yo.
Nice to see John, his beautiful face and his beautiful collection. There's Matt.
Hey.
There's Chris.
What?
Yep. There's Don.
Yo.
And there's Rob.
Hi.
Guys, everything good?
Christmas is over.
Yeah.
Everything is much better now.
How was everybody's Christmas?
I can relax. Busy.
Over.
It was not bad. It was, difficult because everything is difficult. But it was decent.
Mine sucked.
Christmas
Sorry
wasn't
to
bad.
Hear it.
It was the 3 weeks of work leading up to that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have my own stories about that, but we frankly do not have the time.
This was my first Christmas with the foster kids. I was expecting it to be magical. Then the 8-year-old peed in my car. Yeah, so that's how my Christmas worked out.
Maybe
go on Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon, and get some Nature's Miracle.
That's for cats.
And dogs. That's what I use for the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't work on leather. It's leather, so it mostly...
In any case, at least we know Brian Wolf had a memorable Christmas.
Yeah, gotcha. Sure did. Lots of stuff to talk about, though. So we're changing around the format a little bit, and we're sort of in a definite state of flux until, the first regular show of the year takes place. So we are not doing This Week in History this week, and... What's happening on the network is also going away. So I do want to mention a couple things that are on the network. Actually, at least one thing. So Jason mentioned this last week, but the RFC Daily Transformers News Update is back. I've been planning on bringing it back. Then I got an email from Amazon. It's like, hey, it looks like this hasn't been updated in a while. I'm like, yeah. So to comply and keep it from being removed, I have been carving time every single day to record an update. So it's... I'm really enjoying it too. So now that I'm back in the groove, it's really phenomenal. So go to the Alexa store on Amazon.com and look for the RFC Daily Transformers update. Get it, and every day you'll have me waking you up, telling you about Transformers news. One of these guys may help out now and then, depending on if there's something you want to talk about. One of these guys, meaning Jason, who isn't here, but we'll. We'll see. Some interesting stuff has popped up on there, and it's been a great opportunity to talk about things, get it out before RFC each week. So, check that
Brian,
out.
Do you have to spell it so it doesn't trigger?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I don't want people to listen and say, you triggered my Amazon Echo. But also, it's also a podcast. So if you just want to subscribe to it and get it on your podcatcher or iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever, it's also available there. Just search for RFC Daily Transformers News Update and you get something in your download just about every day. Can't guarantee every day. Stitcher sucks, but it's there. We don't have it on Stitcher. But it's still a thing.
I remember Brian. We used to plug that a lot, and then it just kind of stopped.
Yeah, because Stitcher kind of stopped. it's not really a preferred platform. I mean, we're on Spotify and everything as well, but I don't like Spotify as a podcast platform, and even podcasts who do really well on Spotify don't really do that well.
Yeah,
I just don't want to. I just don't want to distribute a podcast. That's, like, I'll record a podcast and upload it somewhere, but I don't want people to listen to it.
I've noticed. I've noticed.
Hey, Brian, I heard the other day on the radio that iHeartRadio is having a podcast awards. They're doing... Are we on iHeartRadio in some fashion?
I don't honestly know. I don't think so.
You almost were.
Yeah, so back, Diecast has a buddy who works at iHeartRadio, and like when they were doing the pilot, they were trying to get us on there, but he quit communicating or something. So
he broke his leg really bad, and then I think got a new job basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's so hard to do a desk job with a broken leg.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I don't know the whole story.
What kind of floor it's on and what kind of building you're in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think we are. We may be. I have no idea.
Okay. Because I didn't even know that was a thing. And yeah, I heard on the radio, it's like, vote for your favorite podcast on iHeart Podcast. It's like, that's a thing now with them.
So, the funny thing is...
I was just thought of you, obviously.
So, Kim is as supportive as she can be, considering especially all the, you know, predilections that I have. And, you know, but like with the podcast stuff a couple weeks ago, she said, could you like get us, you know, like a trip to that podcast award thing that iHeartRadio is doing? And I'm like, not right now. And she's like, well, like, what if you had more time to work, like, on the Happy Daily and stuff? Could you do that? And I'm like, probably not, but, you know, anything's possible. So she was like, you need to work on that. So she has been really supportive about me doing podcast stuff because I think she wants to somehow wind up at an iHeartRadio thing. We have to actually be on it first.
You're just making this up now, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I don't believe you.
It's probably Las Vegas like everything else is for
dude,
them.
She put up with all you guys here in my house back in March. And, you know, she's like...
That's because Kim loves us.
She does. Actually...
we are a lovable bunch.
Near March is coming up.
Especially all at once.
So it happened over Jolanta weekend last year, which is makes me feel terrible because I wasn't able to go to Jolanta, but then everybody just happened to show up at my house. But, hey, we should just plan to do that again over Jolanta, and Rob Springer can just skip Jolanta.
Okay. If we
I think
do,
he's kind of invested in Jolanta at this point, though.
I don't know, Rob. I know you're listening.
Rob.
Yeah, send me a note and let me know if you would be up for just, you know, skipping that this year and coming up here, doing it
once by accident was forgivable. Doing it a second time on purpose, I think, would be pretty unforgivable.
Like, Kim would be cool with it. I mean, we're actually kind of prepping for it anyway. But, like, I'm not going back to Jolanta. I'm not going to any convention anytime soon with the kids. Like, it would have to be HasCon, and that's not happening.
Spoilers, that's for later.
Kim and I were planning on taking the kids to HasCon. We'll have to see, you know, what well,
that, yeah, you can still plan for that. You just don't know when you're planning for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wait for the Groupon.
They may be adults by the time HasCon comes back.
That's true. So I think that's it for the updates. I think so. So did anybody buy anything this week? I will start because I wasn't on last week. I got my G1 Bumblebee from Walmart for like $7. And I just happened to go to Target today because I needed some Diet Coke. Actually, I wanted to go get Pepsi Max, but they didn't have any. Or Diet Pepsi or Zero or whatever the hell it's called. Pepsi Zero Sugar. I saw that they had the Bumblebee stuff on clearance, and I wonder why. I got the pack that has the cassette bots, and I didn't have this Bumblebee figure, and I didn't realize exactly what I was getting into. I can see somebody who is not a fan of Hasbro official product really take this and, you know, make a lot of hay out of it, because it is garbage. This is the most garbage action figure I have ever. I mean, like, I thought
fun to transform though.
Yeah, I thought,
it's a good fidget toy.
Yeah, I thought.
Oh, is that the butterfly knife one?
Yes, yep. Yes, it is. I thought that the evergreen stuff was bad, or that the Cyberverse stuff was, you know, somewhat questionable. This is horrible. Like, it's literally a butterfly knife, and it has a little flap there. It goes. Like, I don't know. The plastic quality on it is so much better than the evergreen stuff, or even, I think, probably better than Cyberverse. So the plastic quality is very high, but the engineering on this is just garbage. I don't know who this is for.
Well, that's weird. I was at Target today when I saw those Marvel Legends Into the Spider-Verse figures marked down, and all the Bumblebee stuff, Soundwave and the cassettes, that at least at that point, were not marked.
So this is Target is $20 for the cassettes. Soundwave was $35. I just plunked down money for Unicron today, so I didn't want to drop all of that. Hopefully, it'll go into deeper discount. I'll find it later. If not, I already have the mold. Even though I do like the look, but
yeah, it does look good.
Yeah, but I wanted the Rumble or Frenzy, whatever you want to call it. So depending on your preference,
enemy.
Yeah, enemy.
No, Don, that's 100% incorrect.
Yes.
That's not defensible.
But it's your toy. It can be whatever it wants to be.
This is true.
No. If I say you're wrong about your toy, you're wrong about your toy. You do not get to have it your way. This isn't Burger King.
Wish it was. I'd go for double cheeseburger right now.
Oh, that sounds good.
I love the double cheeseburger.
I was at Wendy's today.
Yeah. This isn't...
I'm sorry.
This isn't Get the Skinny. Getthetheskinny.org. We posted our episode recently back in July, John? Something like
sure.
That. John is less talkative now that he's on video.
Well, I mean, I got to pick my shots, man. There's what, six voices here? Six brains? Something like that?
Yeah, he's just as talkative, but you're noticing more that he's not talking because you can see him the whole time.
You're right. Exactly right.
And it's hard to play Street Fighter V on video and not look like you're totally tuning us.
Already did it in the pre-show. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
two in one, not bad.
Hey, John, what kind of chair is that?
Vertigear.
What is a Vertigear? I've never even heard of that.
Well, the chair.
Well, old man, it's a brand of gaming chair.
Okay,
you might like it. It's very accommodating. It fits gamers of all sizes. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
The gamer is a beautiful, diverse, extension of mankind. So
we should have a podcast for that
about chairs and your gaming.
Office furniture podcast. I think that'd be very popular.
Hey, speaking of, for me, the chair I wanted, because I've been sitting basically in the same chair in my office for 20 years or 16 years, or the same model. Is the Hawthorne Improv, and I wanted to buy one of those, and I just checked online to see how much it was. It's like $1,000. No wonder the chairs lasted 16 years, and it looks like so plain Jane compared to like a $200 office chair from Sam's Club, and of course it's literally lasted 10 times longer. So I went ahead and found one on Facebook Marketplace this weekend, and that was my Christmas present to myself, which was a new office chair. Doesn't look as cool as that one, but it's pretty darn sturdy.
Well, I have the best chair because mine was free from the local Hardee's.
Whoa, so Don!
I win the chair game because they were remodeling and they gave me
comfortable though.
No, it's actually got a really really thick padded bottom and a metal back. Nice. I just wish because I have fallen asleep in this chair, and since there's no sides to it. I've about fallen out of the chair on Massey.
Nice.
So I wish I had some handles, but some armrests. Other than that,
nice. Okay, so let's stop talking about chairs. Let's go back. Diecast, did you get anything?
Yes, I did.
What'd you get?
I got
a chair.
Not a chair. Erica liked this. I got the Combiner Force
Saberhorn.
Yeah.
I don't know that I knew that was a thing. How long has that been out?
It's the very last wave. I had it on order from Amazon directly for 2 or 3 months now. They finally canceled it and said we're not going to be able to get it. So I had to go back on Amazon and order it from a third party. So it costs a little bit more than retail, but I was afraid I wasn't going to get it. And now probably in a couple months they'll show up at like Ollie's or Five Below or something.
They've been at Marshall's for like 3 months already, dude.
Can you flip it around and see what Bisc looks like in robot mode?
It's not bad.
I've been looking for the Optimus Grimlock one. That one I have not seen yet at Marshall's.
Oh, I need that.
But yeah, I'm a fan of Bisc, like Eric. I wanted to have this.
No one is a fan of Bisque.
Like Eric. That's true.
But always keep one on standby.
Yeah, we share the Bisque, love.
Sadly, Thermidor is too far away and just conveniently leave. But, that happens sometimes.
It's $23 right now on Amazon.
No, call him like this. Call him like the sort of omen, Thermidor, come to my hand and see if that works.
I also got from Hasbro's official Taobao store, I got
What?
Nemesis Prime.
Yeah, no, they have that. Hasbro China has a Taobao store.
Wait, it's a masterpiece. Oh, it's the MP10?
It's the MP10,
yeah. How much you pay for it?
It was on their 12/12 sale, which is like their 11/11 sale.
Yeah.
I think it was like $80.
That's a little less than I think I paid for it. I think I got mine for $100 from Amazon.
Yeah, not bad. So
I really like it. It's pretty.
But yeah, I mean, I've got like every other color in MP10. So I was just like, finally, like I got to get this one too.
I'm surprised you didn't have that, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not a big Nemesis Prime fan, but I'm like, man, and especially now that we're moving on to another Masterpiece Prime mold, I'm like, I got to finish my
MP10 collection.
But I'm not doing that with MP44. Like that's not MP10 is fine for all my repaints and
that's Don, just think how much the Bathing Ape exclusive MP44 redecos are all going to cost.
Well, I don't really care because I got the only redeco. I got the KO Eva. I'll admit I got the KO version of that. But I got 7-Eleven Optimus Prime, so I'm pretty happy with
Beautiful, and Don.
It's unlikely that they're going to do a 7-Eleven MP44 anytime soon. So
yeah. Yeah, the 7-Eleven is one of the only ones I don't have, but that was a little bit...
Diecast Crunton is asking in the chat how many different MP10s you have now with that one.
I would say at least official, I have at least 5 or 6. And then unofficial, I probably have another... If you count upscales...
Yeah, are you counting the toddler?
Yeah, if you count the toddler, I have another easily 5 or 6.
God, the cheapest MP7-Eleven that I'm finding is $350.
Yeah, I think Don did better than that.
But that's also right, probably a little bit cheaper than MP44 is going to be. So now it looks like 7-Eleven Prime's a steal.
I don't like that logic, Diecast.
Well, like I said, I got mine for about $150 because of Dynanomics.
Yeah, but even the sticker price is probably less than what Kilby's finding right now.
Dynamics is sometimes is fuzzy numbers though.
It's Enron math.
It is proven by science that will prove me correct.
My business peeps out there know what I mean.
It's always fuzzy numbers.
Yeah. And then Donald like this. I got the last
set C.
Set C, yeah. Of the Jigbell. Upscale generation toys.
I've watched several reviews. I've heard those reviews are great, but I want them to do some G2 colors. I really don't want another Green Devastator because I've got Hercules and I've got Combiner Wars.
Where's my orange Hulky?
I really hope I really hope they do a G2 in those colors.
Well, remember the Toy World Constructor is coming out in orange.
Yeah, but you said...
I don't want something that big.
Yeah, well, you said that was a pretty figure for display, but not great as far as individual figures. And I've watched some of the reviews from, like, Ben's Collectibles, and those look like they're better figures to actually fiddle with and not just as a combined display piece like the Toy World one you were mentioning.
Yeah. And then one of the most important ones, I got my Christmas exhaust.
You're talking about that last week.
I love it.
Who made that?
Toy World.
That is so weird.
Actually, fun fact, I think this is the first toy out of the Toy World from the new designer that they have because their old designer is Zeta. So this is the first new toy out that I know of that was not designed by the designer from Zeta. And it's actually really nice. It's small. Like, here is one of the Power of the Primes shells. Let me see what else I have around here that I can kind of size comparison it with. This is my iGear one or not, but he's a little bit smaller than the iGear one.
Pull it out. Compare it to, like, the thickness of your credit card bill. I'd like to see that.
But he's great. He's got Merry Christmas all over him, and it just seems weird. Does it seem weird that they did a Merry Christmas and it wasn't, like, released in the U.S.?
Is it
No, that part doesn't.
Are they based in Japan or China?
Christmas is pretty universal.
I'm not sure.
I know in Japan, Christmas is a big deal. I have no idea about China.
Yeah. The transformation's really nice, really simplistic. He's got decent articulation, and I just love the fact that he says Merry Christmas all over him.
Well, still having the cigarette markings.
Yes.
So weird.
Okay, with that, guess since you and I are two people following Magic Square pretty closely, because they have come on really strong in the third party world in the past, say, 6 months to a year. How would you compare that to a Magic Square Legends figure? Put, you know, not counting Transporter, because that's kind of a unique situation.
It's a very decent. I think Magic Square is a tad more complex. But maybe they just didn't need this one to be complex. It's really hard to say.
Legend-sized figures should not be complex.
Okay, no. Now what about the plastic quality? Because I've watched several videos, like Bobby Skullface and a few other folks that do a lot of these Legends figures, and I've noticed this on
Watch
on
videos
Transport.
Of people other than you, Diecast, is what I'm trying to say.
I haven't done many for Legends.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, and he's mentioned this in all of his videos, that there's a softer feel to the
Not
Magic
with
Square.
This one. This seems like regular normal.
Okay, but you can tell a hand feel difference between the two.
Yeah,
like in the plastic quality, because that's one thing I've been. See, I have no other Legends to compare this against except my ones from Iron Factory, but I haven't opened up all those yet, so I really don't know how consistent that would be.
They say Magic Square uses a softer plastic. I don't know if that's really the case or the fact that it just has a very soft finish to it. The plastic is not shiny. It's not the Magic Square stuff, which is something I'm kind of curious about when their Optimus Prime comes out.
Yes.
Apparently it's coming out at the end of the month.
Yes, because you all saw the video that I posted, the link to the video, right? Did y'all watch the video?
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. I like the... I'm just not sure when I get it in hand if it's going to be in as nice of a display piece like, you know, Fans Toys may do with their, you know, because they usually paint everything real nice.
And Don, you said that Magic Square Optimus looks like it's going to be about $100.
Well, like I said, the guy that I usually get my third party toys from off eBay has it listed for $120 with free shipping.
That's amazing.
So I'm guessing, well, again, it doesn't have the trailer. It doesn't have all the parts.
But it's
count,
so
obviously.
Nice.
Yeah, and the transformation looks. And I like the fact that if you watch the video on the Magic Square figure, there's built-in hidden battle damage that you can swap out the chest plates to get the like the blazer blasts in the windows, and then it's not quite as in your face as like the battle damage on like MPO1 was. You know, in some places back on the old MP01, but you can actually flip parts over and reveal battle damage on the Magic Square version. But yeah, that's the only place I've seen put up a price yet. So I'm guessing the regular price, because he's offering free shipping from China at $120. So I'm guessing probably $89 to $99 regular US retail is what I'm guessing based on what I've seen his prices go.
Fingers crossed.
We should just do pricing in fractions of MP44 now. That's approximately 1/4 of MP44.
It's like, yeah, you can buy 5 of these for 1 MP44, you know.
Okay, cool. Anything else, Diecast?
Oh, yeah, I did get one thing. I don't have it to show on video, but I picked it up at Five Below, and it is I put it on my Twitter. it's a memory Transformers card game that includes like a flash chocolate.
Card? Is it a flash like, card thing?
I don't know. I didn't open it yet. I got it for Christmas, but it includes chocolate in the box.
I bet the chocolate's crap, but I'd like to see
yeah,
the memory
probably
game.
So.
So.
Sweet. Okay, cool.
Yeah, John, it was pretty sweet.
Nothing? Nothing?
Nope, nothing.
Sadness. Don?
Yes, I got one thing other than not a bunch of non-TF stuff.
Oh, you can talk about the off-topic stuff. It'll be fine, Don.
Oh,
we got
oh,
a lot no, of show I, to go through.
Yeah. All right. Now, the only thing Transformers I picked up is using the last eBay coupon code, and hopefully this is the last of this mold I will ever buy. I picked up that blue... I picked up that blue and white Arctic colored from Legendary Toys. The movie Optimus in those cool Arctic colors. If y'all can see that,
that's pretty.
So yeah, nice. So I mean that's and it was after the coupon code it was $50 with shipping. You know, oh, wow. And Legendary Toys. I've watched several reviews on them, and it seems like their quality is there. But again, they could be a division of Weijing, who's done the, you know, this and the upscales as well. But I really like this cool art. It's like if he scans something to go to the Arctic to blend in. You know, there's that. He's got the blue swords, and then he's got the gun with the gunmetal gray that matches the fists, same color as that.
If he's scanning something in the Arctic to blend in there, wouldn't he just be Polar Claw?
That'd be great.
That's where Prime should have done that. But there's no bat that randomly launches that when you sneeze across the room.
There could be.
other than that, that's really all I got because the last few weeks have been really busy for
me. Okay, Chris.
No, I didn't get anything. It was Christmas.
Matt.
Yeah. So I got the reissue Starscream and Hot Rod for Christmas.
Nice. And your Hot Rod is backwards like it should be.
Yes, yes, it is indeed. I also got a couple of the keepsake ornaments for Christmas. I got Starscream.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
And my sister actually ponied up and bought me the Optimus Prime that we both missed the first year.
Ooh. Oh,
wow.
I did not ask her how much she spent.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. And you know what, Matt? You can hang the G1 Starscream and the Ornament Starscream on the tree, and you can tell a difference.
Right. Okay. But my sister also made me some wall decorations for my eventual
I saw those
collector's room downstairs.
My God.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize they were that big, though.
Oh, my gosh. They're great.
Well, yeah, wow. They were sitting in front of a full-size couch when I
did she do that with a CNC?
Somebody did. I'm not sure where she got them from.
CNC?
CNC router.
Yeah, they are custom-made.
Think like the opposite of a 3D printer. It's subtractive.
Are they wood or are they plastic?
Oh, they're wood and incredibly heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say, those look like they weigh a ton.
Yes, they do.
That's beautiful.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Those are going to tear your walls down when you hang them up.
Oh, you have not seen the walls I'm building.
Yeah.
Make sure they're on studs. I mean,
they'll be on studs.
Oh, okay. I can imagine.
I don't mess around. Okay.
Now I'm picturing Matt.
A tornado could blow the house off the basement and the walls will still be there.
Good.
Now I'm picturing Matt with a giant, like a little totem pole with a motor. And they just spin. And there's a sound effect that goes doo 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 doo, and it just
not a totem pole. So what it needs to be is a wall in the middle of the room, and one's on one side, and the other's on the other, and the panel just rotates around.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
And just to get some off-topic stuff in there, I also got the complete Ash versus the Evil Dead series.
How much? No idea.
I got it for Christmas. Okay. I don't know. I didn't ask.
I'm going to go. And that's my Amazon wish list right now.
Star Trek Discovery Season 1.
Ah, nice.
So you can enjoy all the Star Trek without paying for the streaming service.
That is the point.
I mean, I already did, so it's not that hard.
Aw. Oh, nice. That's on DVD.
Well, some of it I watched at Hey Mickey's house, so, you know, technically he was paying for the streaming service, I guess.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Cool. Let's see here. Rob, anything?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. I got I needed something to get to $25 for an add-on item I needed off of Amazon, so I grabbed Lionizer, which was luckily at retail price at the time. So that's just a nice little toy.
Yeah, I've heard he's a cat's meow.
Oh, God, Don.
Pretty much. But, I like him quite a bit. I really want to get the other Battle Masters now, even though I've heard Lionizer is the best of the bunch. I'm just, I've always liked Target Masters. Want to get those guys.
I think probably it's worth keeping in mind that the people who are saying that Lionizer is the best probably already have or are familiar with the Takara Target Masters and are seeing Fire Drive and Blowpipe, I think, as just, being lesser copies of what already exists. Whereas Lionizer is at least, new concept. So for you who doesn't have, they're probably going to be just fine.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I do have Cup's Target Master to compare against, but still, just to have them will be nice. And the other thing I got, the one off topic thing, my sister-in-law got me Fist of the North Star Lost Paradise for the PS4.
Sweet.
That's a lot of fun.
Do people's head blow up in that?
Oh God, yes. There's a lot of head explodey in that game.
Can you learn Sanskrit with it though?
Haven't gotten that far. That was near the end of the manga, so it probably doesn't fall in the storyline.
The one where he's mixing the drink?
That is the game where Kenshiro can be a bartender.
Okay, because that made Jim Sterling's number one video game of the year list. So that's how I know it.
I'm not surprised. It's been really good so far. And the last thing I got was since it was on sale for like $20 on Amazon, I did get Power of the Primes Rodimus Prime.
I'm sorry.
Oh no. I think Rodimus
I actually kind of like that figure. It has its issues.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's
I think great. other than the mismatched forearms and lower and shoulders and stuff, I think it's a pretty well done figure.
It's a gigantic figure that doesn't fit in with any other toys that I have, but it's a standalone thing. Yeah. I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like in between the extremes here. I'd say I really like that combined robot mode. I think it looks nice even with the wonky shoulders, but I have transformed it into each of the other three modes once. And I think that's probably my limit for a while. Getting all of that apart and back together was a real thing, and I think I can do without doing it for a while. But yeah, I do like how that combined figure looks, even though just by virtue of being a gigantic Rodimus Prime, it is pretty much out of scale with anything I'd want to put it with. But I'd been curious about it for a while. I wanted it. It was $20, and it's not the best thing ever, but I don't regret it either.
Oh no, it's worth that. It's definitely worth that.
Yeah, it's worth $20. That's what I paid for Rodimus Unicronus, and I don't regret it. Hey, before we jump to the big item this week, I do want to give a bumblebee. I'm going to do this for the next couple weeks. I don't expect this to last very long, though. Give an update on the Bumblebee box office totals. Bumblebee came in third during its debut weekend after a fish
just
movie.
Just barely third. I mean, it was within $1 million of being second.
Yeah, it was beaten by a fish movie and a sequel that nobody knew about. It was tied with the sequel that no one knew about, nearly. So,
what was the sequel that no one knew about?
Return of Mary
Poppins.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one knew about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Bumblebee, domestically, meaning in the United States, as of Christmas, it's $34 million, and foreign, it's about $31 million, so we're looking at $65 million. So even though I think it's got a few extra days ahead of it, by contrast, like Aquaman, I think is already up to $500 million worldwide. So
that smells fishy.
Yeah. So it's,
how did Into the Spider-Verse end up doing?
Great question.
Contrast.
Let's look. So Into the Spider-Verse is currently looking at domestically $73 million, and worldwide we're looking total it's about $140 million.
Nice.
That's a really, I've kind of burned down on a lot of comic stuff the last couple of years. I've not even seen any of the Avengers stuff since Age of Ultron. But
yeah, that's
the last Avengers movie I saw was Civil War.
Yeah, well, that
but
was a good
end
one,
of the Spider-Verse. I mean, it was so good, and I liked the character so much. I went out and got the two pack before they even got marked down.
Yeah, so
because
it's very, very good. I still don't think it's as good as Homecoming or Spider-Man 2, but it's easily the best animated comic book adaptation ever.
Yeah.
Easily.
And I have to say, I never thought I would say this, but now I want a Nick Cage Spider-Noir movie more than I ever thought.
Me too.
I would.
So, yeah. So, any other movies you want me to look at real quick?
No, before? That was just on my mind because nobody's been talking about that in comparative context with Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's doing better than Bumblebee.
Poor Bumblebee. It had a really bad weekend to come out on, I think.
Yeah, well, no, Bumblebee, it just had a bad series of movies leading into it.
If nobody had what they perceived as a better choice of movies to go see instead of it, it probably would have done better.
If Dark of the Moon was the last Transformers movie that had come out, this would have probably been a $50 or $60 million movie.
Like I said before on Twitter at one point, if this had come out like a year earlier instead of The Last Knight, or a year later when people had had more time to forget The Last Knight, I think it probably would have done a lot better.
Yeah, I agree.
Bye, Don.
Don went away?
I think he fell out of his chair.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Don. So let's go ahead and...
But that's a good segue to the big news.
Well, yeah, real quick, though, we are going to have a spoiler-rich conversation about Bumblebee later on, rounding out the show. So, but yeah, okay. Big news. Guys, did I mention early on in the show that the wife and I were really looking forward to taking the kids to HasCon?
You did.
So HasCon has been postponed.
What?
We don't know anything else. A couple interesting notes, though. One, Hasbro is in a little bit of, hot water when it comes to finances, and there's some pending litigation in respect to finances, plus they are also apparently looking to potentially leave Rhode Island. So that was something that Anthony told me about that I wasn't actually even aware of. So there's a lot of reasons that HasCon may be postponed. Postponed might be the right word for it. It might actually happen, might just happen somewhere else. Who knows? Maybe.
It's just really interesting that they made the announcement, immediately after getting the opening weekend numbers for Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HasCon was a lot of fun. But on Facebook and Twitter, everybody was like, well, why don't they bring back BotCon? Well, you can have BotCon and HasCon because they're not the same thing. Yeah. They're nothing alike.
Yeah.
HasCon is not fill that BotCon spot. And I think they just don't want to have the BotCon spot. I don't think they want to put resources toward it. I think that's why we don't have a BotCon. So,
well, the thing of it is, though, if they wanted to make that, and I apologize because I just now got reconnected. If they wanted to make that thing the family destination, maybe they shouldn't have cheesed off all the families that paid full price for tickets and then do Groupons not much later. I mean, they didn't set a very good precedent for the format.
I don't think anybody other than nerds really were aware of that. I think most of the traffic is probably walk-up traffic.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that really had any impact. It pissed people off who bought tickets to go to it. But
no,
the family,
the kind of people who bought like long term advance tickets for HasCon will do so anyway again, regardless of what they did in terms of Groupon.
Yeah, families. Don, were you there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Most of the traffic to me was on Saturday, and it was like general admission.
No, it probably was, and I think the reason they ended up going to Groupon with those advanced packages is because they weren't selling as fast as they expected them
worse
to,
at all.
Which would again support the idea that most of the people that were there were walk-ins.
Yeah. So
it just seemed like there was a lot of negative publicity around the convention with all the missteps they made.
Well, I mean, so you got a negative part right, but I don't think there was really any publicity that happened as a result of it.
Yeah, it was one of those things where there on the social media side, there was a lot of negativity for like the first like day and a half of it with some of the things that were going on. But then basically afterwards, anyone I talked to who was actually there seems like they had a pretty good time.
So publicity requires public attention rather than just five people who bought full price tickets being annoyed.
Yes, totally agree. So, gosh, who was the concert with Flo Rida? It's Flo Rida. It was a corporate event is what it was. But that was like the emptiest Flo Rida event that you would ever be at, other than a corporate event.
But we had fun.
We did have fun, but I don't know how much, you know, they had a return on investment. You know, I sincerely don't think they did. But it was a lot of fun. I would go back. And now that I have kids, I'm sure they would, you know, they would love it. But, I mean, everybody's saying, well, it's over, it's done. Well, I don't know.
It is for this coming year.
It is for this year. But I really don't know. It could come back. There are reasons that this, you know, it didn't happen. And it really could just be the fact that they have too many things going on right now.
Yeah, it could simply be that if there was not a major return on investment on the first one, and it's something that in a better year they were willing to, you know, sacrifice a little money for the publicity, this is probably not the year to do that from everything that's going on.
I mean, they're going to lay off people. That mm-hmm. hasn't happened yet, but it was going to be like a single digit percentage of the workforce. Again, potentially looking to leave Rhode Island. The investors are potentially suing because of the financial impact of Toys R Us not being disclosed.
Yeah, in a situation where they have to be more mindful of their outpay and everything, like the first thing that's going to go is their expo.
That's an
easy bunch of costs to just cut off.
It's easy calculus to make. So,
the upside is maybe they'll move somewhere where there's a Krispy Kreme and they can get some good donuts, which make them happy.
Dunkin' Donuts doesn't actually have donuts, Don.
They
just make coffee.
Yeah, haven't you heard they're changing their name to Dunkin'?
Yeah, I've heard, but I'm still saying, it's still not a Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah. I'd be in small indigestion pucks in my leave Rhode experience. Island.
If Hasbro is going to leave Rhode Island, I would love for them to maybe look at some of the locations like Amazon was looking at and maybe come on the East Coast a little bit closer to me and I can get a job for Hasbro.
Okay. Well, I mean, if they can look at all the people who are offering Amazon a lot of things and find the biggest suckers, they might be looking to move there.
And Diecast, I don't feel like you being in Philadelphia and Hascon being in Rhode Island is all that far compared to, say, Brian going from North Carolina to Rhode Island or John, for example.
I'm just saying maybe I can get a job with Hasbro if they come closer.
Real quick, also, I want to revisit the whole conversation. I think this just bears reminding. Hascon is not a replacement for BotCon. There just isn't a BotCon. Because Hascon's going away doesn't mean you're getting a BotCon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
BotCon's dead. So,
And it's not coming back. I don't think they parted ways on good terms.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. I mean,
well, no, they left him with G.I. Joe.
but BotCon, Transformers Convention, whatever. If Hasbro wanted to do that, they would be doing that. And they're not. So... Mm-hmm. Hey, John, is that public, what you just put in the chat?
Not officially, okay. But you could probably troll LinkedIn and figure it out.
Okay. Well, after I troll LinkedIn so I can source it, I'll mention it. certain things we can say, certain things we can't.
Sure.
Yeah. So, it sucks because Hascon was a lot of fun, but... there's always TFCon. TFCon is not the same as BotCon. Doesn't feel the same. It has its own. It's its own unique thing. If you miss BotCon, maybe you like TFCon. Maybe you wouldn't.
Jared Hebert's clarifying something that I already thought was the case, but this is backing up my memory. Hasbro's intent here seems to just be to close the Pawtucket office and put everything in Providence. Not to leave Rhode Island entirely.
Yeah, there's a suggestion, though, that it could be because of Hasbro Studios. They wanted to move to Los Angeles or AllSpark Studios. I heard that is a, you know, conversation in the background. So, Providence makes more sense than Pawtucket.
I just wish, before we move on, I just wanted to say they wouldn't have told us, like, 2 days before Christmas, because I was kind of like, aw. Like, can they wait until after the new year to give us this bad news? I was all excited. Like, that was the one of the two conventions I planned on going to in 2019, and I'm like, now I just there went that option.
Okay,
there doesn't go your money.
There doesn't go your money. Your money stays in your pocket.
I mean, you could always just plan to fly to California for TFCon in like 3 months now.
No.
Yeah, I can't do it. Okay. Interesting story. Chinese
two and a half, actually.
Okay.
Chinese court upholds Hasbro's IP rights and counterfeit Transformers judgment. So basically what happened? Three parties, two individuals and one corporate entity, were found liable or guilty in, Hangzhou province, somewhere in China. Basically there was a raid. They were, back in 2017. And that's an important thing to remember. And the judgment basically says that, they were guilty of counterfeiting Hasbro trademark, not Hasbro products. But Hasbro trademarks could just mean product. This is language coming from Hasbro's chief legal officer through the lens of PR. But it's just interesting that the specific terms used were Hasbro trademark and intellectual property. So does that mean that this was this raid was on somebody who was knocking off Transformers? Or does it mean that it was something to do with third party?
Could mean something just as simple as somebody's producing a bunch of Autobot and Decepticon logo stickers without a license.
Yep.
And, you know, they just ended up shredding 10 or 12,000 faction stickers.
Yeah. I doubt that, though.
I know, but we have to present that as a realistic possibility.
You're absolutely right. So it could be all of the above. Now, John had a really awesome couple of podcasts with our buddy Bill Ray, at Varen Empire on Twitter. Bill is an author, a Transformers fan, people probably know from BotCon. Plus, he is a former practicing IP attorney. And it was a really great couple conversations. Long and the short was that, for the most part, third parties operate outside of what you would normally consider trademark. But Hasbro could always build a case. And if the right judge and the right jury or, you know, whatever were in place at a given time, Hasbro could potentially have a case against, you know, a random third-party manufacturer. But so we don't know.
This could also be merchandise. It could be pencil cases with Transformers on it. Or it could be
Chris already shirts. Said that.
Yeah. Well, he said stickers with the Autobot logo. But
it could be anything is the point.
Stickers was the simplest example of something that would infringe on trademark that I could think of.
Right.
Because, like, anybody can print off a bunch of stickers and sell it and call themselves a company. Like, that's the lowest overhead kind of thing that this would qualify for that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's...
any of that stuff you buy off of Taobao, though, I mean...
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. You don't know, and there's no way for me to know if it's official or not when I'm buying from Taobao.
Good. Remember that when the police come and, you know, come for questioning.
But one of the reasons I want to stress this is because, again, on the Facebook groups and Twitter, people were either saying, well, this means the end of third party, or third party purists or third party first folks were like, no, this has nothing to do with third party. Well, you're both wrong. So it's unclear as to what this actually means. So it could be third party. It could not. So it's incredibly unclear.
This could be the first step in Hasbro exercising stronger control over their intellectual property rights, or it could just be something that was so blatant that they literally could not stand by and let it stand without loosening their existing trademark holds.
So I want to take.
Have we seen any of those, like, practically identical to the original in identical boxes masterpiece knockoff Autobot card knockoff since 2017?
Yes, but not as many. That's actually my original thought. So if you go back to the I specifically mentioned that on the RSC Daily News update from yesterday.
Ah.
That was my initial thought, is that it was those knockoff manufacturers. But you would have thought, considering it's Transformers product in that case, that it would have been Takaratomi going after them because they're the primary originators of those. But Hasbro's involved as well.
Yeah, Hasbro has the business presence in China, so they might be the ones withstanding to actually bring the case.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, but I didn't want to go. I wanted to go into my history.
One thing before that, one thing to back up that previous point. A lot of the masterpieces that are sold in mainland Asia are sold and distributed by Hasbro Asia, yeah, even though they're still in the Takatomi packaging. Anyway,
true. So I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about a little bit about Hasbro's legal and my experience with it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it's happened. I've always alluded to it, but I've never actually mentioned it. So Hasbro goes to great lengths to protect their stuff. They go to great lengths to protect their intellectual property. And yeah, I mean, they do. So I might have been a troll on the internet at some point in the past. So I don't know if people have been around for a while. There's a troll on Alt-Toys Transformers named Patrick Stewart. And he would post stuff as the, you know, Hasbro insider that he worked for Hasbro. He'd stopped posting after like 98 or so. So I might have started posting as him back in the late 90s through the early 2010s, you know, on Alt-Toys Transformers. Something I might have done. And I always tried to post about, you know, things that were not true and I just made them up. But I wanted it to sound kind of true enough to where it was believable. I mean, long story short, is I posted something and forgot about it. It was that a certain Transformers product was in the works, yada, 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 completely fabricated it. I honestly stole it from another idea, and I don't want to specifically say what that idea was because I don't want to, you know, hint at anything. But the long and short of it is I got an email a few weeks later from Hasbro's legal team, and they had subpoenaed Google to get my information, and they made my life a living hell for months. Oh my God, it sucked. As they were, you know, digging in, trying to figure out, hey, did I have information that was supposed to be protected by an NDA? They went to great lengths to find out, like, all the information about me, about my friends, about people who I know who might be working for Hasbro, who might have information about Hasbro. They were going to message boards, to chat rooms. The guy went, one of the lawyers signed up for a Star Trek Online account to talk to people that I know. I've never even played that game. But, I mean, like, seriously, they went to great lengths to figure out who I was, what I was doing, and what information I had or didn't have. It was horrible. But it was an interesting experience because, you know, they finally figured out, hey, I literally knew nothing. And I had just made it up. So, actually kind of, you know, was in a conversation with the lawyer, and he was asking me questions about other things and other people. They are very, very in tune with what's going on out there. Hasbro and their legal team, they have a tremendous amount of knowledge about companies who manufacture things, people who sell things, retailers, manufacturers. And he was asking, it was interesting. I forgot who the retailer was, but he was asking me if I knew, had any information about this retailer that sold knockoff product. And I didn't. That website happened to go offline forever about 2 weeks later. So, if you think Hasbro doesn't know what's going on, you'd be wrong, because they have a team of very expensive lawyers at their beck and call who can, you know, track basically anything down. So, I guess where I'm just going with that is Hasbro, they don't mess around.
And don't be a troll.
Don't be a troll. I was so worried that I was going to have to pay some hefty legal fees over that, but we worked it out. But it was really interesting, and Hasbro don't mess around. So I finally got that out. I feel better.
I'm almost positive you have told that story on the show before.
Well, we have a whole new listener group that,
no, but I mean, like, within the last 12 months.
No, I know I haven't in the last 12 months. I've never gotten that story out in its entirety. I've hinted at it and I've alluded to it, but I've never told the story. Like, I talk about it, like, after the show is over and, it, you know, like, before we start streaming, but I've, you know, never actually gone into detail on it. So,
you know, our next item kind of looks like a knockoff.
Does it?
To me.
MP36 Masterpiece Megatron. Oh, yeah. It's the, they're going back to the toy thing.
I love this stupid thing, and if it weren't as expensive as it was, I would have one.
I agree with you 100%, Rob.
Yeah, I like it.
I think this is terrible.
I don't like it.
And, it is marvelous.
And here is another thing that usually does not happen, in which I agree with Diecast on something.
Well, no, no. Don, you don't have to agree with Diecast because Brian also doesn't like it, so you can agree with Brian instead.
This is one of the most butt-ugly decos I have ever seen.
Oh, you people don't know how to appreciate bad
in
toys.
In my life. No. This is almost as bad as Year of the Horse Optimus with all that god-awful gold chrome.
This is the part of G1 that nobody wants to remember.
But everybody should.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, it just looks terrible. It just
looks like G1 Megatron.
Uh-huh. Yeah, G1 Megatron was a horrible looking toy.
Yeah.
It really was.
I mean, it had its own charm.
And so does this.
Yes, it does.
No, there is no charm. It's just...
No, Don, if you acknowledge that there's charm in the G1 Megatron toy, you inherently acknowledge that there's charm in this. Because they're the same thing.
Yeah, so if you're going to get this, why not get the original Masterpiece Megatron? It's a lot cheaper.
This is more interesting.
Yeah.
He has Decepticon-labeled butt cheeks. I mean, come on.
And by interesting, you mean crap.
Also, MP4?
Oh my god, he does have Decepticon-labeled butt cheeks.
No, that's got to be like just a one a something someone did, and they just
that's where they fall on the original toy, so that's why they're there.
They're placed there because those panels go in that spot in the gun.
Yeah,
want this now.
See, I got mine secondhand, and it's all there and complete. But the stickers were already applied, but someone didn't apply the Decepticon stickers on, and so I did not really even realize.
No, but the reason to not buy the original Masterpiece Megatron is because A, it doesn't look very good, and it also has that corrosion problem on the metal parts.
Cosmic rust. Yeah.
Yeah. It has problems.
Now, do you mean MP05?
Yeah. Was it 5? I don't.
Yeah.
I have a hard time keeping the MP numbers straight on some of the older ones.
Yeah. It was MP05. God, that's a... I
absolutely love this. Like I said, I forget. I think it's well over $200, isn't it? So that part I do not like.
Well, the original release of it was. So, I imagine this is...
$25,000?
I forgot how much I made
about
for it.
About $250, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right.
God. This is so weird.
The only thing I would change about 36 Plus is I wish it had toy equivalents of all the different face expression options MP36 regular came with.
Yes.
But it just has this one face.
Side by side, it does look really different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so weird that it looks so different. But God, now, yeah. Damn it.
We like it.
Yes.
I want this.
I still don't like it.
If you want a Megatron and you can't swing, get Despotron, get the infinite transformation version of Miss Megatron. Just God, this is ugly. This thing is just so.
That's the point.
So Rufus Landale in the chat brings up an interesting point here. Don hates this but loves Kronos? What the F, Don?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, in robot mode, Kronos looks like a good Skyfire.
Wait, stop, Don. You said that 100 times, and not to cut you short, but I really want to have this conversation with you for the final time. Once you get your Phoenix.
Yes, I know Phoenix will be a better toy, but I'm saying
even looks. You're not going to say I have a need for Kronos once you get Phoenix.
I will say Kronos looks good. Phoenix looks better. I'll admit that. But Kronos has done me well these past few years as a perfectly good-looking Skyfire.
Okay. So let's move on to the next item because Kronos has nothing to do with Megatron.
Anything.
Yeah. So we have photos of the Encore Unicron, which again mine shipped today, which means I'll have it probably Friday. God bless you, Amazon Japan. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I hate myself for how much I like
it. It is. I like it, but I just keep telling myself that I don't need it.
I agree. I don't need it, but it is very pretty.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Oh, this, look I at love.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, this is gorgeous. It's just I don't really want any more of that mold being that old of a mold.
Yeah, Brian, for your sake, I sincerely hope they've done some work on this mold for this release.
Yeah,
it's so pretty. Because
the last one I got didn't work out so well.
Oh yeah, the chest pieces wouldn't even stay closed on yours, right?
I finally got it to stay closed, but like I had to, make some blood sacrifices to some pagan gods or something to get it to work. I don't know, so.
Well, that's a Saturday for you.
I mean, my whole thought on why I had to get this is, what if this is the last Unicron they ever make?
Please,
it probably will be.
Because I want a new Unicron.
They can always re-release. No, don't fall down. They can always re-release this one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing with the lackluster performance of the last Encore set, which was the Godfire Convoy set, and its QC issues, they can't afford another debacle in their Encore releases, or that's going to be...
How do you know that, Don?
For the price that they're putting these figures out and having the QC issues, I can't imagine having two in a row would be any good for them.
Oh, that's I agree with that.
I'll rephrase. Okay, well, they probably can't afford to be wasting the money on two expensive releases with bad QC issues, because they've already had enough people like poor Matt who got the Coneheads with all that horrible QC across the board on all three figures.
It wasn't QC issues. There was like one with bad shoulders that I didn't even get a bad copy of. It's just that they're not designed very well because they weren't designed to. I mean, they
be
were.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. Well, okay. That's true.
No, but Don's right that a second, like having to recall an expensive Encore thing for a second time would be kind of bad. Yeah. Especially since they'd have to come up with like a whole separate excuse for it, like they did with Encore Godfire Convoy. They did not recall that because they had misattributed a voice line or whatever in the sound chip. Like that was the most polite thing they could say to justify recalling those toys.
That had stressed plastic in the package.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm the Ultimate Fire Convoy fanboy, and even I didn't want the set after reading about all those issues.
You don't need it.
I don't need a lot of this stuff, but I still bought it.
They had deco modifications. Like, there's vague justification for getting that, even if you have the originals, but like not when they cannot withstand the stress of their own existence.
Yeah. Okay, so MP32, Optimus Prime, if there's not enough Optimus Primes in your life.
Studio Series.
I'm sorry, Studio Series 32. It's obviously not a Masterpiece, Studio Series 32. It's right there.
It's the new Masterpiece line. Save costs.
So, I don't like it.
No, the new one's the one on the left.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, then you're wrong, because this looks, like, incomparably better than the original release.
I don't like the original either.
But this is better.
I totally see that. I just don't like it.
Okay. Well, this is the one that's apparently designed to combine with the Leader Jetfire that's a couple numbers down in the series.
Yep.
I don't care for the design, don't care for anything about it, honestly.
Well, it doesn't have much paint in robot mode.
It looks like it's not finished. It's just the colors are just like, it's not gunmetal gray, but that's what I'm using is like basically, it's just like the flat plastics. Because I mean, here's the thing. If you want that Optimus Prime, I mean, if that's what you want, you can get this version. Well, let me make sure I'm in front of the camera.
That's not the same design. Like, that's the Evasion style design, not the movie 1, 2, and 3 design.
It hasn't aged well at all, that design.
But I'm saying this is a better looking figure for Optimus Prime in robot mode.
They're all better looking figures. But
for not much more money.
But you can't say that that's a valid replacement for Studio Series 32 since it's not the same Optimus design. Like, if that was a different version of the movie 1, 2, and 3 Optimus appearance.
That's true. Yeah, I was just looking at him.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, if you want a good-looking Optimus in robot mode...
Well, get Studio Series 38 or whatever we were talking about last week.
Yeah, 38. Yeah, I don't care about the design for the first couple movies. It hasn't aged well. I just don't see the point in it.
I like it better than the Age of Extinction and the Last Knight design, just because the robot mode still looks like it turns into a vehicle.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess I get that. I like the look better. I think it's sleeker. Not that my Optimus Prime is sleek. My Optimus Prime is boxy as hell. But it's boxy as hell in a way that's kind of quaint, where this is it's kind of like PlayStation 1 games. PlayStation 1 games, you can't go back and play them because they look horrible.
So, like, this number 32 Optimus Prime is a pretty good representation of what Optimus actually looked like in the movies, but if you go back to the 2007 Leader Class Optimus Prime, like, that's a good-looking design interpretation of Optimus Prime, consistent with the movie style.
I would agree with that. Yeah. So that is sure a thing if you want that toy. Siegeweave 2.
Or if you want to make jet power.
Yeah. If you want your Optimus to wear a corpse, that's the one to get.
When it comes to movie Optimus, I kind of do.
Yeah. Siegeweave 2 Deluxe is in package.
Yep. I was just trying to fill space at this point, dude.
Yep.
I love how big Ironhide looks. Ironhide is visibly bigger than like Prowl and all those guys by like an inch, a good inch.
I really hate that Prowl.
In box, it looks horrible.
Yeah, I have not seen an angle that Prowl looks good at to me.
Yeah, that Prowl does not look good in package. And I originally liked the design of it.
So the thing that worries me about Prowl is that, like, from the knee down on the legs is all clear plastic.
Ooh.
Yes, I've mentioned that before. Yeah,
that's worrying. Yeah.
Why isn't Prowl like an owl? I don't get that.
That would be nice. Wait until they get to War for Cybertron Transmetal 2.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
And the sad thing is, if this is what they're bringing out for the Dotson body, this is what they're going to use for Smokescreen and for Blue Streak.
If we get them.
So, I mean, it's just the fact that...
Easy repaints, I'm sure we'll get them.
Whatever comes after Siege.
Yeah, it's just the fact that I love Smokescreen, and that's why The Gambler is one of my favorite Season 2 episodes. But I just really think that would look bad on this mold.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but Smokescreen has a lot more paint to it, so I could almost see them doing that as a select figure.
You got a point.
Yeah.
But Hasbro doesn't have the best track record with Smokescreen decos, so even if they did that, I don't know how much hope I'd hold out for the results.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Meanwhile, Six Gun looks great.
It does.
Yes, yes, he does.
Okay, and it's just that Chromia.
It's not necessary. I liked the Thrilling 30 one. I'm fine with it.
And Ultra Magnus in package.
And out of package.
Yeah.
Boy, he's small.
Yeah.
Don't forget to scroll all the way through to the picture of him next to Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus.
I don't think I can. I don't want to.
Me too.
Well, put it this way, he is in scale with Siege Voyager Prime. Yeah. So,
but I think we all can agree that Terra Axton.
Teraxodon.
Was it Teraxodon? Is that how you're doing? Okay, Teraxodon.
Yeah, Terra Axton, wasn't that like a teeny bopper actress in the 90s?
I don't know.
That sounds great.
That is a cool name. I'm sorry. That's a wonderful name, and I love it.
It is, and it's a nice-looking toy, too. On the Magnus, one thing I do want to point out is that, yes, those are 100% Cybertron Optimus Prime's leg guns.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah. So I just realized something. The color scheme they're using on him, on the axe,
oh, my God.
That's G2 Swoop colors, almost. The green and the blue, isn't it?
G2 Swoop.
Yeah,
the unreleased ones. You know, now that you mention it.
That's basically very similar to what G2 Swoop would have been.
You know, like Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus wasn't that big.
No, it was. I remember us talking about how it was a little bit on the small side for leaders at the time.
This is like two heads shorter than that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is tiny.
But it is six grams heavier.
Does Siege Ultra Magnus have permanent ankle tilt?
It does a little bit. Someone figured out that they did that because if it wasn't, the wheels would be touching the ground in robot mode and it wouldn't stand level anyway.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you can't flatten the feet out entirely, but they will tilt inward more if you want to do different poses. They're not fixed at that specific angle.
So it's 6 grams more, and with the armor on, I think it looks better, honestly.
I wish the colors were more like Combiner Wars Magnus.
Yeah.
I like the lighter blue.
I really wanted to like this Ultra Magnus.
I'm still waiting to see what the leader Optimus looks like.
Yeah, I still kind of do like this Ultra Magnus. I can almost justify to myself having both just because they do different things and they're different versions of the character. But as small as it is, it's probably another one I'm going to wait and hope for a markdown on, like Rodimus Prime.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of funny. I was thinking when we were talking about smokescreen that we could do it in Alternator's colors, and then John Type that we could do smokescreen in Alternator's colors, and please do one. And we could.
I'm up for it.
Yeah. Okay, so last news item, Zeta Toys reveals Zeta Bar, where everyone knows your third-party toys' names.
That's impossible.
And I love how the chairs...
No, Diecast, Impossible Toys out of business.
Oh, God, Don. The chairs blurred out because they don't want to show it in the photo. It's a big
just the top half of it.
But in the other photo, it's clearly visible in the where Starscream's sitting on it.
So the part that looks like a Decepticon symbol is blurred out. And we were talking earlier about how Hasbro was prosecuting companies that were counterfeiting their trademarks in China.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's $21 for this.
That is the 150 yuan, which Google converted to $21. So
this is literally like a bar set. I mean, we're not joking. It's legend a bar scale. Set. Legend scale. It's nice. I don't ever need it.
I need it for my swerve.
Yeah.
I like some of the design touches. Because like two of those pieces are completely modular. They can be chairs or tables or extensions of the bar. Like you can get a few of these sets because they're relatively cheap and configure out an environment with it. Like in a lot, there's a lot of versatility with how they designed it. I actually am pretty impressed with that. The Decepticon throne piece just seems to kind of be an extra.
Yeah. Hey, okay. So real quick after these messages,
We'll be right back.
Second time I've said that today. But when we come back after the Amazon plug, we are going to have a heavy spoilery conversation about Bumblebee. So if you haven't watched Bumblebee and you don't want to be spoiled, hang around for the Amazon plug. But then as soon as I'm done shilling, you need to like just skip ahead.
Mute or whatever, to
the end of the show. If you're watching live, just walk away or mute and look at Don's beautiful face. But we're going to talk about Bumblebee after we talk about Amazon. Hey, if you got an Amazon gift card, you know what you should do? Go to tfradio.net/Amazon and spend it. Like, you know, you need toilet paper. You know, you need toothpaste. You know, you need cat food. You know, you need garbage bags. You can get all of that at Amazon. tfradio.net/Amazon. You don't have to use it to buy expensive electronics, but if you do, use tfradio.net/Amazon. Really need your help. Helps pay for the show. Actually, doesn't help pay for the show. It entirely pays for the show because we don't monetize really any other way except for the shirts. You can buy a shirt, tfradio.net/shirt. But, you know, there's toys. There's toothpaste. There's sexy time stuff. Anything you can think of, tfradio.net/Amazon has it. So please use that link. It'll help us out. Okay. So who here is stepping away for the Bumblebee conversation?
I guess I will, since I have not seen the movie yet.
Yeah, I'll mute if I can find
you. Okay, Don, I can just kick you.
I haven't seen the movie, but I don't care about spoilers because I'm not going to watch it anyway. Okay. So.
Okay, but are you interested in staying for the conversation about the movie that you care about?
Without spoiling it, Matt, I would say you should go see it. You really should.
But I don't care.
Okay, but Matt, this movie has the Hey Mickey seal of approval.
Yes. So Don, if you don't figure out how to mute with this new Skype, just drop yourself and we'll add you back or something. But people watching live, seriously, I want to give you like the count of five. And if you're still around, it's your own fault.
You've been warned.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh my God, what a great movie.
No, Don, even if you're muted, I think you can still hear us.
Don't make me send you a polite letter.
Mute your windows, Don. Mute, like, you have a mute button on your fancy schmancy keyboard. Hit that. This is so sad. I'm leaving you this in the show.
Maybe he is muted.
Maybe he's not acting like he can hear anything.
Okay, so
God,
he's muted.
Talk. Say something.
No, he can't. Thank goodness. Okay, so Bumblebee. I was going to take a notepad to take notes. I thought all the way through of just the many wonderful things I wanted to talk about the movie. The movie has its flaws.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a perfect movie by any stretch.
No.
But it's a very good movie. So, in its heart, I was questioning myself all the way through. Is this an 80s movie? Or is this like a true movie that has like the spirit of like an 80s movie, like Short Circuit? Or A Battery's Not Included, or something like that? Or is it just a movie set in the 80s? And I honestly think that it's really a movie out of time. I really think it's a movie that it really feels like a movie that is from the 80s. And because it doesn't gimmick up all the 80s stuff. It doesn't say, ha, 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 look at this. Look how primitive it was back then. You know, there's not a lot of her. You know, look at all these 80s jokes things. So, I mean, first and foremost, that endears itself to me. Watching it, I didn't have to apologize to my kids. I didn't have to cover their eyes. I didn't have to explain what a penis joke was. There was no jokes about flatulence.
What the Romeo and Juliet law?
Yeah. There's no hypersexualization. Charlie was almost an apology for the first three Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
And she was great. So I liked it. I thought it was a genuinely good movie. Good, not great. But it is the best Transformers movie ever. I mean, it's by default the best Transformers movie ever.
Revenge of the Fallen.
No. I mean, by default meaning better than Predacons Rising.
Can we mute Diecast instead of Don?
No. It's better than Predacons Rising. It's better than the 86 movie. It's the best Transformers movie ever made. So, and I really liked it. I guess getting into spoiler territory, the big question is, and we even talked about this a couple weeks ago. Is it a reboot or is it not? And I'm of the mind.
It can be both.
I'm in the mind. It could be both. Are there things that it negates about the other movie? Sure. But there's nothing, I think, that major that couldn't be hand-waved away. So, like, at the end of the movie, Optimus Prime is on Earth. But guess what? He could leave and come back in the 2007 movie. There's nothing specifically said that, you know, where he had to, be on Earth the entire time.
But Megatron didn't they say Megatron took Bumblebee's voice?
No, it wasn't Bumblebee. I mean, it wasn't. I don't think that was it. I don't remember.
So Megatron in the movies, revealed that Megatron was the one who took Bumblebee's voice away, and in this movie, it was whatever robot that was.
Yeah, it was Blitzwing. So here's the thing. This is the point I tried to get across on Twitter, and I don't think some people understood it. In comics, history changes all the time. Like, somebody was like, I don't think you understand how continuity works. No, I very well understand how continuity works. I don't think you understand.
Yeah, once upon a time, Iron Man was created in, like, 1968, and these days I think he was created in, like, 2010.
Yeah. So, history changes all the time to affect, you know, like, differences in just time passing. The fact that certain tastes change, when a change doesn't happen for 200 issues, it's easy to forget, you know, that Iron Man, you know, was injured like during the Vietnam War, or that, you know, Kennedy was president, you know, when the Fantastic Four, you know, went out into space. It's easy to forget all that stuff. But like when you have 10 years of worth of movies in the same level of changes happen, people are like, oh, well, it's got to be a completely different universe. Well, no, it doesn't. It could literally just be a minor change that changes history, but the other things still take place somehow in some loosey-goosey sort of way.
Well, and the majority of what this movie invalidates is only stuff that was introduced in The Last Night. And let's be honest, that movie should just be written off anyway.
You know, though, it really doesn't, in the sense that Bumblebee goes to Earth, and it doesn't say he hasn't been to Earth before. He got to Earth pretty quick.
Well, I mean, to me, they were framing it like Earth had just been discovered.
I don't think it's super clear either way, and his memory banks are damaged, so it's impossible to say whether or not it's impossible to say. You can infer however you want to. I think that it pretty much does invalidate the stuff in The Last Night, but it doesn't necessarily have to. You can hand wave a lot of that away.
Well, I'm mostly saying that if they do like a soft reboot of the Transformers universe in the modern setting, like have the next one be set after Age of Extinction, just pretend The Last Night never happened.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Let's go into the things I didn't like about the movie. I had to think about, like, there's still a lot of merciless killing of robots and people, but the only time that really doesn't happen is in Beast Wars, to an extent, and in the Generation 1 cartoon. Except not counting the movie. Otherwise, Transformers die all the time. So Cliffjumper is killed by, is it Dropkick, or what was the other one? Not Dropkick.
Shatter.
They, on Mars or another planet, they kill Cliffjumper.
One of Saturn's moons, I think.
Yeah, so Cliffjumper is like basically, literally bisected right down the middle. And I kind of felt, you know, I kind of hated that, but, you know.
Why couldn't it have been Gears?
Why couldn't it have been Gears? And, you know, a couple of humans are literally gooified in the movie. And that, you know, I don't like.
Although the second one was funny because the couple in the gas station out there were the parent actors from Grounded for Life. And they were presented again as a married couple. Like, that casting made it feel like that was an intentional reference back to that.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I wasn't even thinking about it. I just felt like that guy, while he was not a great person, didn't deserve to be gooified. I felt that the scientist, or the, was he a scientist or was he a military scientist? The other guy that was gooified, he probably kind of deserved it for bringing this doom upon the Earth. I wasn't super comfortable with that, but both things I wasn't super comfortable with happened by were caused by Decepticons. Who are the bad guys?
Yeah, nobody murdered Frasier this time, so.
Yeah, Optimus didn't murder Frasier. Bumblebee, there was some shooting at humans, but no murdering of humans by Autobots. And I don't think Bumblebee was shooting to kill. I think Bumblebee was shooting to defend. I don't know. I've done most of the talking here. So, Diecast, what did you think about the movie?
I thought it was good family Transformers movie. I don't think the story was that great. I don't think the action was okay. I don't know. I left the movie theater feeling very indifferent. Like, I could have, you know, not seen this and really not cared. I didn't hate it. I'll probably watch it again. But I don't know. It just didn't give me that feeling of wow.
I was wowed by how heartfelt the relationship between Bumblebee and Charlie, how that was handled. It was very much like an E.T., or again, like one of those, a human buddy with their either robot or alien sidekick from an 80s film. It felt really genuine and heartfelt. Even though, I mean, again, it was it a deep story? Absolutely not. It is very much a popcorn film. But it was heartfelt. And I felt like they were genuinely trying to make a good movie instead of making, you know, teenage, you know, titillation fest full of horrible fart jokes.
It didn't have a fun factor that I guess I expected from this movie. It wasn't as fun as I thought it was, even though it was a decent movie. And I didn't like the Decepticon characters. I didn't think the choice was good.
But you know what you just said? Characters. So that by default makes it better than four of the other five movies.
But I don't know. There's just, and I really can't explain it 100% other than I just didn't get a good feeling, you know, or I felt very indifferent is the only way I can really say
it. So, okay. So, one of the questions circulating around this, especially from people that are Bay purists, is that it's a, quote, G1 movie. It is in no way, shape, or form a G1 movie.
No,
it is still very much a Bayverse film. I mean,
yes.
It's a Bay-style Transformers movie that happens to feature some characters that kind of look like their G1 counterparts. But even then, it's not the Remeda designs. It's many generations out beyond what the Remeda designs look like. I mean,
It was like Bay with a removal of Bay, and some of the stuff was for better, and some of the stuff was for worse. A Bay movie has more comedic value in the it was shorter than a Bay movie,
thankfully shorter. Only once in the movie that I think it was a little too, like, is this movie over? It was about 20 minutes before the movie ended.
The same thing, but that's because I need to go to the bathroom.
I made my kids hold it in too. I'm like, guys,
you're gonna miss the best part.
Like, hold it in, go to the bathroom before the movie, hold it in, and they did. So am I grading it on a curve? Like, I absolutely was. I gave The Last Knight, you know, a positive review in context of the other Transformers movies, because I do think it's the second best or the best of the Bay movies, which doesn't mean much. Second least bad Bay movie. But this is far and away, like, this, all of those movies pretty much rate as a one star, half star, or like turkey level movie. This is a solid 2.5 star film. Like, not even on a curve. Like, I could, if somebody said it was a 3
out of 5?
Five, yeah.
Okay. I'd totally agree with that. This is a 2.5, I would strongly say 2.5, maybe 3 stars.
Yeah. Like, if somebody said 3 stars, I would not argue with that.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. There are parts of it I really, really liked, and I love the fact that it was set in the 80s, and it was unabashedly like an 80s film. Was it Mimo, the human's other human sidekick? I liked him. He was not annoying. I liked that he was a nerd, so he was able to apply his nerdiness understanding to things and sort of, you know, adjust. I liked the fact that the kids were all savvy, and, you know, instead of, like in most of these movies, they either tend to be, you know, too savvy or too stupid. I think it was right down in the middle. I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
But would you say this is the Transformers movie that would save the franchise?
I don't know that you can save the franchise.
If it had come 2 installments earlier, yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean,
also, Brian, you've had the video focused on T-Formers this entire time.
Oh, that sucks.
I feel like, you know what? I will agree with you in that respect. If this was the first live action Transformers movie we've seen, we would probably feel a lot better about this movie.
Okay, well, for one thing, I think you're the only one who doesn't feel more positive about this movie, because, like, the majority of response I've seen to this has been overwhelmingly positive. I think for the first one, we needed that Bay spectacle to actually get people in seats and take the concept, quote unquote, seriously. But moving on to something more in this style for the second, or probably more like the third one, I think would have been a more beneficial choice for the direction of the franchise overall.
It's too little too late.
I don't think you could have started with this one and had, you know, 5 sequels spawn off of that. I don't think it would have had the same initial grab.
Now, with, like the G1 fans especially are all goo-goo gaga over the stuff on Cybertron, would you actually want a movie like that? And I have to say, no, I don't want that movie.
I would.
I mean, I don't... necessarily want specifically the movie we saw for the first 2 minutes as an entire movie unto itself, but as a proof of concept for being able to depict that environment and the battles and do it in decent looking CG. Like, I could take something using those concepts and fleshed out into an actual movie.
I don't want to
I'll butt in here and say, I would like that, but I sincerely doubt the general movie-going audience would want that.
Yeah, it probably would not work as a theatrical thing, but if you could get close to that CG quality and have it go direct to Blu-ray or whatever, you'd have something that I would definitely sit down and watch.
I think it's a CG movie. I think that would work really well for Blu-ray. I really think for an actual theatrical film, those designs on Earth would work really well. I think especially movie going fans are primed, no pun intended, to expect like an Earth based setting, and I think it would be a little too jarring to do a Cybertron based setting for an entire movie. But those designs I think would work great on Earth, and I think that I would be all about that movie, but I wouldn't be all about something set just on Cybertron. I think I would probably get bored with that.
Yeah, I think one way you could probably like bridge that gap is like they've talked about doing an Optimus Prime focused movie like this was Bumblebee. You know, you could have it cut back and forth between Optimus Prime and whatever plot on Earth and give, you know, almost equal time to him flashing back to things on Cybertron that are like analogous to whatever's going on in the main plot. Like you could start to build more Highlander. You could build up more of that on Cybertron content. So then maybe in another installment, you could do it almost entirely as an on Cybertron feature, but like direct to video would work fine for that context. So one thing that I found really surprising with this was John Cena was really good in his role.
He was. I didn't see him the entire time. That was for you, Matt. So I liked it. I liked him. And I anticipated by the end of the movie that he would be, you know, a protagonist, and he was. I mean, that wasn't hard to figure out. In its core, Transformers, at least Generation 1, at least and everything basically that wasn't Beast Wars, all the way up to, gosh, when hasn't Transformers been about, you know, a human and their Transformers friends? Is Beast Wars it? I guess in the IDW some of the IDW comics, this is as much a Transformers movie as you can get. John is referencing a scene in the movie Blockers, which I saw, which is terrible. I'm not going to go into. So this, it's not a G1 movie. It's a very much a Michael Bay style aesthetic anyway movie.
Without all the negative things Michael Bay brings to a movie.
Yes. But at its core, it's very much a Transformers movie. Transformers has been for, you know, 35 years for the most part. I think if you were to ask somebody or you wanted to tell somebody what Transformers was, this would be as perfect a way and as consumable a media as you could get to show somebody what Transformers is about.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, no, this is the Transformers movie to put someone in a seat and say, watch this and understand Transformers.
Yeah.
Because, like, it does lay out the concepts in a really easily consumable and enjoyable way. Like, this is good. It's not, like, a masterpiece of filmmaking, no, but it's a genuinely good movie.
It is. I like it.
And we were right that at the end of the movie, Bumblebee turned into the Camaro.
I wasn't actually expecting that, but he certainly did.
And that's just showing that it is the prequel.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't say it, what does?
Well, and again, they built out this movie so that if they want to launch a whole new movie series from this and not reference anything in the previous movies, they can totally do that with what they've built here, this foundation. Or if they want to then say that, yeah, all those other movies happened after this, well, then you've got that tie forward, even though when Bumblebee showed up for the first time in the 2007 movie, he was a Volkswagen.
Even though this, you know, this movie was okay, I really would like to see them just do a full reboot now and not try and build off this movie.
I mean, you know, honestly,
well, that's not going to happen because Lorenzo de Bonaventura doesn't know what a reboot is.
That's true. like, you know, like the movies following, it could be like X-Men First Class, where at least most of the movies following are period pieces. But unlike some of those movies, those movies do a pretty good job of being in the period without looking, look, you know, this is an 80s movie. You could totally do something again set in the 80s or something set in the early 90s that could be completely enjoyable. Oh my God, a Generation 2 style movie set in the 90s with neon and orange.
And they have to find the Cybernet Space Cube.
Oh my God.
Hasbro Studios, hire us.
Yes. You know, again, I think it perfectly distills what Transformers is all about. And in that sense, I mean, even if it didn't, it's still the best Transformers movie ever made. But it's enjoyable. And if you're not watching it because you hate the Bay movies, or you're not watching it because you love the Bay movies and you think this is disrespects those, you know, get past it. Go see it. You'll like it, Matt.
Okay, Matt, look at it this way. Hey Mickey did not want to go see the movie. He was taken to go see it by his family. But when he came out of it and was talking about it on Twitter, he said, "We finally have a Transformers movie we can be proud of."
Yeah.
Like on a scale of 1 to Raven, Hey Mickey would call this extremely Raven.
I mean, as much as I love the 1986 movie, and I've watched it upwards of 600 times, I can't be proud of that movie. I can't show it to my family and, you know, expect them to have any interest in it. The kids loved this. Kim loved this. It's good. You know, like at the theater that I was packed in with nerds who half remember the Transformers, you know, a few months back for the Fathom event showing, most of those people really enjoyed Transformers the movie, but you know, I don't really care what they think because that's, you know, that's an echo chamber. This is something that anybody can enjoy. This is the movie that really could get people. This could really generate and create new Transformers fans if it had just been positioned at the right time.
Right.
It still could.
But it probably won't.
Yeah, probably won't. Okay.
Because the damage has already been done.
Damage is done. Yeah. Damage is done.
But even so, at least we got one we could sit down and legitimately enjoy watching. Instead of just sitting there saying, well, this wasn't as bad as these parts of these previous movies.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about it, it had the like Chekhov's gun moment in it where you saw that Charlie was like a competitive diver, and I'm like, oh, when will we need to know that information later on in the movie? And of course the answer is at the end. It's formulaic in the best possible way.
So you know one little detail that really took me out of the moment? When Mumblebee puts in the VHS tape of her diving competition, and that is just like the clearest, most, you know, high-res looking videotape footage I've ever seen from 1987 or 86 or whenever that was supposed to have been taped. Like, that was just... They need to put a couple more filters over that to make it actually look like videotape.
Yeah. They even had it running on a CRT TV, didn't they? And then they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that superimposed on a CRT TV.
Yeah, okay. Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, I was right about Blitzwing, my initial guess based on how little merchandise there was.
That Blitzwing was supposed to have really been Starscream?
No, that Blitzwing dies in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was the shockwave of the movie, the big impressive one they put in all the advertising.
Oh, and you mentioned Shockwave.
Who actually has nothing to do with the plot.
Okay, so our buddy John Bailey was also in the movie, which is, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
So he was Shockwave and Soundwave. Now, I'll be honest with you, anybody can do a Soundwave voice. It's the Dr. Claw voice with a vocoder. But his Shockwave voice
was good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So he did a great job. I mean, like it was authentic to G1. Who was it that did Shockwave?
Corey Burton.
David Warner.
It was super close. It was super close. So yeah, he did a great job. Bravo, John. Good job with that. Okay. You can find show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/602. You can follow us on Twitter at facebook.com/, pardon me, at TF, Twitter at TF Radio, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com/C/Radio Free Cybertron, or just Google YouTube Radio Free Cybertron. And we are TF Radio on Twitch. And we lost Don. Don can be found on Twitter at HMRC4EVR. That's HMRC, the number 4EVR. Jason, who is not here, can be found on Twitter at Jason S. Kirk and at jasonskirk.com. Let's see here. Rob Springer is at Robbie Rob Springer on Twitter and at zonebase.org. Matt is on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's, M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, you can find my galleries and other photography-related stuff at playwithphotography.com. I've got some what I'm calling mega micro galleries. They're little short galleries for mega constructs, micro figures, which are like my favorite action figure line in years. So you can check out a few of those I've got up right now. And then personally, I'm on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. You can find whatever the hell I'm talking about at any given moment, usually toys. I have problems.
Yeah.
I think that covers it well enough. Oh, I'm on Patreon too, patreon.com/ChrisRTXV. You can help support what I do on playwithphotography.com that way if you like, and get access early to galleries here and there and maybe other content.
Sweet. Forgot myself. I'm on Twitter at BKilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby, and you can find my podcast, Happy Daily, at briankilby.com. Even though Christmas is over, it's still around in my heart. Download my latest Christmas album at tfradio.net. Let me pardon me. briankilby.com/xmas2018.
Is it Christmas around your heart or cholesterol?
Actually, my cholesterol is really good, so it's Christmas.
Yeah, that joke just popped in my head, and I had to run with it.
Before I jump to diecast, Jared asked, what would you guys think if we got a hand-drawn 2D film for Transformers? I think it would bomb.
I would think it was 1990.
Yeah. I think it would bomb.
But I would want to see it.
I would be happy, but that, yeah, it would not do well.
Yeah. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. I try to tweet at least once a day. You can also follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. And on, you can see my reviews now that hopefully this crazy Christmas season is over. I'll be able to get some up at tfradio.net/reviews or youtube.com/RFC reviews.
Let's see, I already plugged Don while he was away. John.
That John D everywhere.
Awesome. Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Viewers, which yes, I'm on several Twitters.
You are on several Twitters.
I am on several Twitters. It's kind of sad, but the main one I'm using for toy-related things at the moment is Figure Reviewers. I retweet a lot of friends' sales threads there, especially Chris's. I'm also on Twitter, YouTube, and a bunch of other places as Flailthroughs. That is my gaming channel. We are still covering Gundam Battle Operation 2. Check out every Thursday on YouTube for the weekly update to the game. And I'm also on Patreon at Flailthroughs, where if you want to donate a couple bucks, you can request specific mobile suits in that game or some of the other Gundam games I've played. And lastly, of course, you can see Chris and my Transformers writing at tformers.com and our video reviews at Tformers TV.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it. We'll be back next week. Actually, if you're one of our live viewers, we will not be back next week, because we are pre-recording the year in review episode. But if you just want to come and hang out, the video should post at the normal live stream time. And if you fill the
need, are you making use of the YouTube premieres feature for that?
There's a YouTube premieres? I know there's a Facebook premieres.
Yeah, there's a YouTube premieres feature, and it should allow for live chat during the playback.
Okay, so if you are a normal Facebook viewer or if you're a normal YouTube viewer, go to those outlets. And you can chat away. We just can't respond. But if this is where you spend your Wednesdays with us, and you know there's a few dozen, more than a few dozen people who do that each week. Thank you so much. We love you. Several dozen, actually. Wow, we did pretty good this week. Yeah, you know, go to tfradio.net/live and watch it there. Chat away. And also, if you're on Facebook, I'll have it go live at the same time, participate in the chat there. And that'll be tfradio.net /603 if you want to just go ahead and jump to that when it posts on Wednesday, the second. Yeah. Sweet.
Oh, one thing, Brian, I wanted to give a shout out to Rob for giving me the heads up that those deluxes went back up on Hasbro Toy Shop late last week. And
are they still up?
Nobody cares.
I'm surprised they put them back up.
No, but Don got them, and I'm glad you got them done.
Yeah, so
that means it wasn't an error, I guess.
I'm sad I did not get several more $10 costs.
I had three in my cart, and I decided not to do it.
Yeah.
I got two just because, yeah.
What I'm going to do is the ones I got at Target a few weeks ago, I want to try to sell them on Twitter to help people out because I know how hard they are to find. Because I don't need two sets, and I know some other people hasn't seen the first one, so I'm going to try to help out some friends on Twitter and stuff. So
cool. And because Don ruined the rhythm of my end, we'll see you next week.
Sorry.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.